following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Everybody, and welcome to Turn 8 of A Worthy Opponent, a podcast based on the new game by Blizzard called Hearthstone, which is currently in beta. I am Black Lace.
I'm Autumn Spain. I don't know if we could call it new. It is still in beta, but it's getting to the point where it's not so new anymore.
Well, to some people it will be new, and to the newer people who got beta the keys within the last couple weeks, it's still new.
Yeah,
it's just kind of old to us.
Still not in open beta. I would have thought they'd be there by now.
Yeah, they said they were going to do it in December, and they're still doing a lot of changes and mentioning changes and tests in closed beta, including the ranked stuff. They're talking about ranked being still in closed beta, so I'm thinking that open beta got pushed back again, and they just haven't actually told us.
Well, you know Blizzard. They move at their own pace. They progress only when they think they're ready.
Yep, and I like that. I don't like, I won't talk about other games specifically, but games that release prior to when it needs to be released or should be released, and then there are issues with it, and then they promise fixes to those issues, and then don't fix those issues. Blizzard does not do that.
You mean multi-billion dollar corporations that set arbitrary release dates?
So, about Hearthstone.
And then they stick to arbitrary release dates, whether they should or not.
Right. And Blizzard does not do that. They release it when it's good and ready. And usually at that point, if there are problems, they're really minimal. I mean, we had some new issues come up with the patch notes, the new patch that actually hit the day after our podcast.
Yeah, so all those things that we said were going to happen,
they happened. Yep, but you found something that's not new, but that is interesting that we haven't spoken about before.
I did?
I think you did. I'm not good at crossword puzzles. I don't think it's a crossword puzzle, but it is a puzzle of some sort, right?
Oh, yeah. At the Hearthstone website, at the Battle.net site, they have this running article called Puzzles and Hearthstone. I don't know how I missed it before. Apparently it's been going quite a while. So if you're the type of person that likes solving riddles and puzzles, they're sort of like brain teasers, and they're up to number 4, it looks like. And what they do is they lay out a picture of a Hearthstone board, and they show you your opponent's minions and your minions, and they tell you which cards are in play, how much life you each of you have, and they say, okay, you've got this and this and that, and your opponent has X health left. How do you beat them this turn? And I just did one, and you could probably figure out which one I did.
It would be a hunter, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. So it basically told me my opponent had like 17 health or whatever left. Told me which minions I had in my hand, which spells, and didn't take me long, just a couple of minutes to figure out, how to beat my opponent with it. And
does it like zap you if you get it wrong? Or does it let you know it?
No, it's all text. It's all text, so you just read it. And I think in the upcoming, the next installation, they give you the answer, because at the bottom was the answer to a previous riddle. I didn't actually read the answer because I might go back and do them, but they're kind of fun, kind of brain teaser-ish, and it ranks them as to how hard they are based on mana crystals, saying this is this many mana crystals. For example, no wonder I got it so easily. It's a difficulty 2 out of 5 mana crystals. So I'm guessing that was meant to be a piece of cake anyway. So
now, do you have to be in the beta in order to play this game, or can anybody log on and play this?
Well, I don't think that people outside the beta are excluded from going to the Battle.net Hearthstone page. I didn't log into my account, so that means anybody should be able to get in. And you see people posting on the forums all the time who are not in the beta, but they talk, you know, like, oh, sounds fun, too bad I'm not in the beta yet. So you can get in.
Well, it could be a kind of way of cheating in order to play. You know, it's like, okay, I can't really play it, but if I play these games, then I'm kind of almost playing it.
If I wasn't in the beta and I knew about this, I would be going through it. Because one of the cool things is the way it's laid out is it tells you, for example, I just went to a random one. It says, Thrall has 17 health remaining and 10 mana. His minions include a fire elemental healing totem, ogre magi, flame tongue totem, and the Thrallmar Farseer. He also has a doom hammer equipped with 4 charges left. And each one of those cards has a hyperlink. And so you click it, and it goes to, people who play Warcraft are familiar with Wowhead. There's something called Hearthhead, which is exactly like Wowhead, probably made by the same people. And instead of showing, you know, the monster or the loot or whatever, it shows you the card. And it shows you the stats on the card. And it even shows you the gold version. I just clicked on Doomhammer, and it shows the version of the Doomhammer I have. But it shows the golden Doomhammer, which has the head of the hammer actually on fire. So.
And how did people get there again? Tell us exactly how to get there.
What, to Hearthhead or to the riddles?
To the riddles.
Okay. So to the riddles, you just go to the us.battle.net/Hearthstone /en/blog and a whole bunch of you could Google it, just Hearthstone beta, you know, forums or whatever, but US BattleNet will get you there. And
okay.
They're constantly updating news. It's where the forums are also. But I thought the puzzles were a cute little thing, and maybe in my spare time, ha ha ha, I'll go peruse them more.
Well, as we had mentioned also, the patch did hit, so we did see all the changes in the cards that we were talking about, and a lot of other changes that were really cool, too, that have come with it. There was one glitch slapping, and that was... it's still a problem. Actually, there were two. The one that was resolved was there was a problem with minions giving health buffs, such as the Blood Imp and the Stormwind Champion, that were giving inaccurate amounts of health bonuses in certain situations. That one was resolved, but there's still another issue out there. And anybody who's in beta and playing Arena, you want to watch out for this one. What's going on is when you're finishing an arena run, if the client closes while on your reward screen, it can cause an issue to occur that would prevent the account from starting any new arena runs. So they're working on fixing that. That could be pretty devastating. I don't know that anybody would purposely log out on the reward screen unless they're just being lazy. They get their rewards and turn it off, but log out the normal way if you're in the habit of just shutting down. Don't shut down in the arena reward screen, because that'll cause problems.
Yeah, we were just discussing last week a different problem with Arena. Arena just seems to be have its share of problems, so I hope they fix it. A lot of people enjoy it.
Yeah. Also, they've still noticed some high latency. They're working on that. Loading games, they're still working on the Mac. So loading games onto the Mac while using high graphics settings, causing graphical issues as well. Gaps between cards and cards overlapping can occur if your hand, if there's a minion cards are played quickly. I've noticed that. I had one jump on top of another and I couldn't get to the card below it. That's a known issue. Playing out minions while other actions are occurring can cause the minions to shift around on the board. Only the owner of the minions see the shifting. I actually saw that today. I'm in the habit of trying to play very fast. I toss my things down and get to the next thing and then hit my end turn half the time before things are even finished going through. Gotta learn to slow down, because what's happening is cards are overlapping or minions are shifting from one place to another.
Let's talk about the shifting, because something happened to me. And I couldn't tell if it was a bug or if it was meant to be. You know, they've added additional animations to some of the cards. I had a fairy dragon on my, well, my opponent had a fairy dragon out, and it was sort of flying over the board. I don't know if it was meant to actually be a flying fairy dragon.
Was it in the card still?
Well, it was in the oval, you know. It's not like the fairy dragon was flapping its wings and moving around the screen. But the little oval that had the picture of the fairy dragon in it was hovering and kind of going in a circular pattern, just moving around and hovering almost as if it was intended to do that. I think I played a fairy dragon myself a couple games later, and it didn't do that. So I think it was a bug, but the bug made it look pretty cool.
Yeah. The one I did was, I'm not sure if the card, you'll forgive me, I don't have all my cards laid out in front of me right now, but it's the one with an elf that gives a +1/+1 to another minion when she comes out. That's her battle cry. And I cast it so fast that she switched, and I was putting her down to the left of it. And as I was casting it, I cast it so quickly, for some reason, she then switched over to the other side. Didn't really do anything, except that the placement of the cards weren't where I placed them. And it just kind of made me pause and say, what was that? So that's the only thing I noticed with it. Well, there are a lot of changes this week. Actually, I'm really excited about some of them. Because the patch hit, they had different features coming, like the quest per day, the animations of golden cards. All golden cards now have animations. My favorite change is that it's something I'd been asking about. I complained at the very beginning about not being able to abandon a quest if I did not like it. And then they came back and they made it so that you could get more quests so that you have them saved up and can slowly get rid of them. They actually made it now that you can abandon one quest per day. And the only warning I want to give with that is when you open up your quest log, if you've got a bunch of quests, you can only have up to three, you'll notice a little red X in the upper right-hand corner. If you click on it, boom, it happens immediately. It's gone. The new one's right there where you just pressed the button. It does not tell you or ask you, are you sure you want to abandon this quest? You click that X, it's done.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. But I was glad because, I mean, there are classes I just don't like playing. And now I can actually just not have to worry about it.
Well, there's really a lot of nice changes. I like most of the changes. A couple of cards I'm not happy with, but the UI changes are really nice. They added new artwork when you're in your collection and you're on each page. For example, right now I have the shaman page up and it shows a totem. Then when I go to my hunter, it shows a quiver and arrows, and my mage shows like a book. It's really not. It's not a.
Well, it's pretty. It's kind of like parchment.
It's like parchment. That's exactly what it's like.
I like how it looks. It's a little bit more flavor to it. It looks like you're looking through a book. That is pretty. I think the priest is an angel. Angel wings show up on the priest. And it's pretty. It's just literally at the top of, you've got, the way it's laid out is you've got your cards laid out. Very top of your screen, it's going to say what the class is, and that's what we're talking about. It's the word, the, you know, priest, shaman. It's just the artwork right around the word that's changed, and it is very pretty.
Yeah, there's want to talk about some of the other patch changes?
Well, yeah, I wanted to actually just this one thing that I was kind of excited about. Just, it's so much fun. Anybody who went to BlizzCon or anybody who did the
virtual ticket?
The virtual ticket, yes, thank you. Got the Tauren Chieftains card this time. The patch actually had it come out. You didn't have to go to give a key code. It just showed up one day. You turn on your computer, get into Hearthstone, and boom, the Tauren Chieftain card shows up in the middle of your screen that you've got it. and I've played it, and it is hysterical.
Yeah, that may only be for people who got the digital version like us. Somehow, it may know that because we did the virtual version that they just give it to us. But I did see something in the patch notes about people having to put in a code. That may be people who went to BlizzCon, and they probably came back with a code to do. But it is fun. I've played the card a few times, and I don't win with it. And it usually helps my opponent more than me, but it is a funny card to play.
Nope, I had a good win with it today, actually. A lot
today?
Of things happen. Yep, today. A lot of things happen. When you first throw the card out, you get ETC showing in bright letters in the top. You've got lights going all over the place. You've got music blaring. And I would just love to be the person on the other side who's never seen this card and didn't even know it existed when
Laser
this card
beams.
Hits. It is hysterical. And somebody actually, right after I played it, said, well played, just because it was so much fun. As I mentioned last week and the week before, playing this card gives you a special card as well as your 5/5 Tauren Chieftain and gives your opponent a special card. The mage I gave it to never played that special card, but when I got it, I got up to 2, 3, or 4 Murlocs would appear, 1/1 Murlocs. So when I played that extra card, I had 3 1/1 Murlocs suddenly appear. Then I played my my regular Chieftain, and he gave them all +1, so I had +1, +2/1 creatures out on the board suddenly. It was just... it was fun. All of a sudden, there was just a ton of creatures all over the place. But
my Tauren Chieftain doesn't hang around, because both times I played it, the card that the opponent got from the Tauren Chieftain killed the Tauren Chieftain.
Oh, I'm sorry. She did get a card. The mage got the 2/2 creature with taunt. So that didn't get a really special card. But I did play earlier in the week, and somebody got an... actually got a legendary from me. So it's a risky card to play. I mean, it's... I think really, if you're going to be playing this card, you want to be playing it in casual mode, because
it's a risky casual card.
And I gotta tell you, that's another change that they did. The casual mode, as opposed to the ranked play, which we'll discuss a little bit later. Casual mode, I think it's almost as bad as ranked play. You can get some really tough opponents, and they're your level.
Yeah, I don't know if the MMR is working in casual mode. At least when I go into a ranked mode, I know I'm playing somebody who has progressed to a certain level and is probably going to be similar to me in skill. When I'm in the casual mode, I don't know if I'm playing like a really great player who's just slumming it and is just beating the crap out of me. I've actually had more wins in ranked than I have in casual.
I don't know. I found ranked pretty hard. Casual, I've found a good number of... I've gotten about 50-50 between really hard and some people I've kind of walked all over and felt really guilty about. But... with the casual play, my goal was, if I got a quest that I didn't like the card decks for, and I'll just lay it out there, I'm not too crazy about the shaman and I'm not too crazy about the druid. So if I need to win 5 with a shaman or a druid deck, that's the one I'm giving up. But what I was doing was trying my shaman and druid in casual, as opposed to risking my ranked play with decks I didn't like.
Yeah, I've been kind of mixing it up, because casual wasn't necessarily doing me any good. I figured I'm not the most competitive player in the world, I'm not the best player in the world, but I decided I might as well play at least my decent decks, the ones that I have at least a 50-50 chance of winning with, in the ranked mode. And I managed to get, through the Angry Chicken, through the Leper Known, through the Squire. I forget what they were. And you start at 25, 24, 23, and you get stars. And if you win several in a row, you get bonus stars. And then if you get enough stars, you progress to the next rank. And in those first 5 ranks, you don't ever go backwards if you lose. I said, oh, doesn't hurt me to just play in ranked at all. But then I hit 20, and you got that little Green Eye Shield Bearer guy that's a 0/4 card. It's that picture. And I progressed past him. No, not instantly. I won a few, lost a few. And I got to the next level after that. And I'm like, oh, good, I've progressed even further. But then I lost a couple, and I went right back to the Draenei again. So once you hit 20, you can start losing, but never below 20. So it's sort of like those first five are almost a gimme, and after that, you have to really pay attention.
Yeah, I think what the key is right now, everybody is thrown into the beginning ranks. We're talking the absolute most elite of players got set back to rank 25. So they're going to progress pretty quickly, but you know, if they're not playing that often, you may come up against, be playing against somebody with just incredible skill, and they could beat you senseless.
Yeah, well, it's day six now since the patch came out, so I'm thinking the people who were masters quality, they're the fanatics. They've already gotten there. We're not playing them anymore.
Right. And since we're talking about rank play, what they've decided to do are seasons, which are a month long. So basically, you're going to play the whole month, and then at the end of the month, the whole thing resets. Casual play will not reset, but the seasons will reset monthly.
And they've kept the number of total wins in play mode, whether you're playing casual or you're playing ranked. I'm looking at my screen right now. It's showing me a 289 wins. That's 289 times I have won this game in anything but practice or arena mode. Anytime I've just played another opponent that was not an arena, I've gotten a win, and it has not reset. Now, there's a few things that are not going into play yet. In this first season, they're not going to give you any of the rewards. They're not going to give you the golden cards. They're not going to, what was the other thing they said they weren't going to give?
Well, the gold or, sorry.
The card backs.
The card backs, yeah. The card backs they're not going to do. Let me just take a quick peek. During the first season, basically ranked card rewards, the alternate back cards and the golden heroes won't be available. They want to make sure that the rewards for ranked player are available to anyone who wants to attain them. And then they want to get Hearthstone out of closed beta so that they can let it loose on everybody.
Now, maybe once they go to open beta, they'll wipe our total wins out and they won't just keep adding them up. But I'm still showing the same, you know, the total wins going up, albeit slowly, but they're going up.
Well, the nice thing, the thing I am also excited about has to do with this is the UI has changed. It's very, very obvious now up in the right-hand corner of your screen when you are choosing what you want to play. There's two huge buttons upper right-hand corner. One is for casual, one is for ranked. And all you have to do is click it and boom, you're there. It was kind of evasive before. It was kind of hard to find. Now they're just absolute smack on that screen. No question about it. There they are. Press the button, you're in casual. Press the button, you're in ranked play.
I like that. It used to be in the same place. It's just, there was that little tiny X. And so,
right.
Like,
it was,
do you hit the X?
You didn't notice it.
Do you not hit the X?
Yep. Yeah. You didn't notice it. This is just absolutely, absolutely obvious. You've got a Hearthstone symbol if you're in casual. And if you're in ranked, it starts with your angry chicken and two blank stars over its head. And then as you progress in ranked, that symbol changes, yet the casual symbol always stays a Hearthstone. And it's almost like they're in little banners.
Now, you've got your angry chicken with two stars.
I'm not an angry chicken anymore.
Well, what are you now? Are you a squire?
No, yeah, I'm the squire. I had to get past leper gnome. I just didn't want to look at the leper gnome. Couldn't do
it. Well, once you get higher up, those two stars become three stars. So at rank 20, I'm looking at three stars over my head.
Nice. Yeah,
but
it's obvious.
It's also cool that when you're playing another player, you can see exactly what they are. And today I played at rank 20, and I could see my opponent was at rank 21. Like, uh-oh, He's probably a little bit better than me. He was playing a warrior, and I was playing a warlock, only because my daily quest was warlock. My warlock deck isn't terrible, but I have to figure out a way to tweak it. I may have even borrowed some of it from another deck I saw. And it was starting slow, and Blizzard said that they felt warlocks had a very strong early game. I wasn't getting that. But as the game progressed, I started to get better and better cards, and I was down to only like 6 life, and I managed to get out Illidan and a giant and a couple of other things, and he eventually ended up conceding to me, and I won. I'm like, yay, I beat somebody who was a level higher than me, and I got my star. And then on the next game, somebody beat me, and I lost my star.
Yeah. No, I like how you can see that. Another thing you can see that you weren't able to see before with the new ranking is when you look at your friends lists and you can see exactly what their rank is. So I logged in and I was in casual play. So Autumn's Bane was able to see my little casual button, whereas I was able to see his Draenei and that he was level 20.
But they have to be online. Because right now I'm looking at my friends list. Nobody's online, so I can't see what anybody's
right.
Rank
it doesn't.
Is.
It doesn't save what your rank was. And then yet another feature that I was absolutely thrilled at. You mentioned last week that one of the things you wanted to do is if you played a player that you enjoyed playing with, you wanted the ability to play them again, right?
I did say that.
And well, guess what they did.
I know what they did. I don't have to guess.
I'm waiting for our viewers or listeners to guess. So if you haven't guessed by now, I'm telling you. You can now see the last person you played. When you open up your friends list, you can look at the very, very bottom. It will give them the BattleNet account of the person that they just played. All you have to do is press a button, type that name in there, and you can make them put them on your friends list right away. Of course,
yeah,
they still have to approve it. Yep.
And the bar says last played, and then it has the person's name in blue with the pound sign and their 4-digit number that follows. And yep.
They still have to approve you. So I would send them a little message, hey, I played you in Hearthstone. I really enjoyed it. Let's be friends.
And if they hate you, they'll just say,
ignore,
or whatever.
Yes, but it's a nice change. But be careful, because if you log out of the game, you're going to lose their name. I mean, you won't lose it if you already did the friend request, but if you log out before you do that, you're going to lose what their name was. When you come back in, it's going to be blank at the bottom. It does not keep it.
Another change.
Yeah, another change was in the same area. Actually, not the same area. One other thing that they did was the ability to print screens, which
print
is
screens.
Really neat. Print screen. You know that little button that says print screen on your keyboard?
Now, why would you want to do a print screen?
Well, maybe somebody did a play that you liked and you wanted to save it really quick. If you hit print screen, you don't even have to hit control print screen. I mean, you just hit that print screen button. You get this big bright yellow letters saying that the screenshot saved to your desktop, and that's where they put it. That screenshot will be on your desktop when you open up your desktop.
Oh, there's okay. I was on my deck screen. I have my hunter deck up. I can see all the cards to the right that are in my hunter deck. I hit print screen, and it said in big bold yellow letters, "Screen has been printed."
Mm-hmm. And then you've got it on your desktop. They have a little icon of what it looks like, and you can open it up.
There's Hearthstone
actually,
underneath it. Yep,
yeah,
there it is.
And it actually, I don't know in everybody else's computer, but in my computer, it put it into a place where I could actually draw on it. So I don't know if we can actually change artwork. That would be kind of interesting if anybody artistic out there. I'm not sure how much you can change things, but you might be able to play with it a little bit.
It shows up in my Windows Photo Viewer.
Okay.
So,
Mine showed up. Not sure what it. I can draw on it. That's all I know. I'm taking a black pen and kind of scribbling all over my custom mage. So
what
I'm
are
not
you in, like
it.
MS Paint or something?
I must be. Yep, Paint. Yep. So you can actually do things. So if you like that picture of Jaina, you can like blow it up and put it on your background. Or if there was a scene that you liked your character winning, or if, you know, some sort of milestone for you, you can pop that up there on your background.
Ooh, the next time I play my Elite Tauren Chieftain, I'm going to try and screenshot it.
There you go. There you go. So it's a lot of fun. The print screen does work. It saves it to the desktop so you don't have to sit there and open up my computer and go into your programs and all that stuff. It just puts it right where you can grab it. I like that.
That was a good, yes.
Okay. Some of the changes, Unleash the Hounds.
Ugh.
We just got, I had it played against me. It was a game changer, and not where a hunter like you would like it to be a game changer. He did call out about 4 or 5 hounds against me and then pump them up immediately to 2-1 creatures. I was playing my mage. Did womp a little bit on me, but I had some cards out. I had some taunts out. So the hounds, although they came out right away, he had to charge my taunt creatures. So decimated some of his hounds, and then my next turn, I just cast a spell that did 1 point to every creature on the board, and gone.
Yeah, well, Blizzard specifically said that they felt the hunter was strong against the druid, the rogue, and the mage. And if you think of the hero powers of each of those classes, the hero power can do 1 point of damage. So take out each of those hounds. And it could also take out the Starving Buzzard, the other card that they nerfed. So
that's why they nerfed the Starving Buzzard. Make it so much easier to ping.
Supposedly more on an even footing, but I don't remember if I've been able to beat a mage with my hunter deck since the changes were made. I've won games, and I've won games without Unleash the Hounds, because I'm no longer using Unleash the Hounds. The deck is definitely a little more vulnerable to mages now with their single pop, pop, pop. Mage now is like the prodigal sorcerer in Magic the Gathering, just pop, pop, pop.
I've got to say, with the Priest deck, the mind control going from 8 to 10, not a big difference. I don't think it's really that big an impact.
Well, it buys you time.
Barely.
It does buy you time.
If your turn two, and you've got that extra coin, and you hang on to that, so you can call that out, steal something on your 9th mana instead of your 8th mana.
10th.
Well, yeah, but it was 8, so now you can actually get it at 9 now.
Right.
I had 2 mind controls in my deck, in my hand, very early on in a game, and I just held on to them, and I used them both very easily. I mean, really, that 2 little turns, by the time you get to casting that, it doesn't really impact game that much. I mean, it's still, mind control is still super mega, mega powerful. Want to hear my suggestion?
Go ahead.
Okay, I think Blizzard should basically make mind control limited in turns, so that maybe my characters, I steal your Ragnaros. He comes over to my side asleep. Okay, let's not have him asleep. I steal him. He comes over. He's ready to go. I use him. Next turn, maybe even 2 turns, you get him back. But if it's not permanent, maybe that's the way to fix this card. The mana increase did not change.
Steal it for 1 turn?
Yeah, or 1 or 2 turns.
You know, 1 complete revolution.
Exactly, and then the card goes back to the original owner. I think that would work, whereas the mind control, and it's forever yours, it's still broken, even at 10.
Yeah, I think the changing the mana of a card at the top level like that is not as effective as something that would change the mana at the bottom level. You know, so there's a lot of those cards that'll do like 2 damage for 1 mana. If you were to increase the mana on those, people would just stop using them. But people aren't stopping using cards at the higher end if it just takes 1 or 2 more mana. Because in a lot of games, there's significant play left there. If people were in a mode of playing really aggressive decks, I don't know if that's still going on. So in a case where you're playing aggressive decks, then it does make a difference. Like, warriors tend to be very fast. They either win very fast or they end up losing. From my experience, your mileage may vary. But so that could mean a big difference. The priest could probably lose to the warrior faster there because the warrior plays so swiftly. But, you know, I have found that for every strategy I try to play that really does well against one kind of deck, there's another deck that just completely annihilates me, like I've just played for the first time.
Yeah. I don't know. The changes just did not seem to that staggering to me. Another change that they made was to the Flame Imp. It now deals 3 damage to the Warlock. You saw that happen. Did it really hurt the Warlock that much?
Well,
I mean, I know it hurt it for 3, but I mean, did it really impact the deck he was playing?
I don't think so. He got the card out. It was a pretty powerful card to get out quickly. He took 3 damage, and I think it was an appropriate change. It didn't break the game in either direction, and it was probably a little more fair that he took the extra damage. Warlocks have a lot of cards in their deck that can heal them. You know, they hurt themselves, but then they get another card that heals them themselves. And I don't even remember whether I won or lost, but I didn't see a big game change. Again, that's an early in the game card. You don't, by the end of the game, you're not going to be playing that card in all likelihood. So it's not like he was down to just 5 health and he suddenly played that card and lost 3 damage. It was designed to change the early game, not to change the end
right.
game.
And that's what Blizzard is looking at right now, especially with the Warlock. They're keeping an eye on the cards that help the Warlock maintain the early board advantage, and they're going to be making more changes in the future if they need to. I think they want to kind of get it balanced out so that it doesn't become so powerful just because it's so fast and furious.
I have not found the Warlock decks to be unbalanced. They seem to win just, you know, the right amount of times. I have Warlocks beat me. I have Warlocks get beaten by me. I've won with my Warlock deck. I've lost with my Warlock deck. The Warlock deck that gets me the most, ironically, are these Warlock Murloc decks. There's a Warlock Murloc deck, and like, people are copying it left and right, and it's hard to hold off that many Murlocs.
Right.
And
if you don't have a direct damage kind of spell that does across the board, they can overrun you real quick. But one thing about the Flame Imps, a lot of people had actually crafted the Flame Imp because of the power of the card. So what they want to do, because they've changed it from, you know, 2 damage to 3 damage, and people aren't going to play it, they've already destroyed cards to get that card. So Blizzard is coming back. They're temporarily going to increase the amount of dust you get from disenchanting the Flame Imp so that it's equal to the amount of dust that it would have originally cost to craft it. So if you're not going to use it anymore, you can go ahead and disenchant it and get your original dust back from what it cost you to craft it. That's
I know they were doing that with Unleash the Hounds. I didn't realize they were doing it with the Imp too.
They're doing it with the Imp too. In fact, they're actually they're doing it with another card, which is a more neutral one of the neutral cards, the Argent Commander. It was a 4-3. They've moved it to a 4-2 because they want to see more variation coming out. They noticed a lot of people, because of what the card did, using the Argent Commander and not using other cards instead. So they kind of... that's an odd reason to hit the card, not because it was doing so much damage, but because they wanted to see you using other cards than that one. So they gave it that little bit of a nerf, and again, the same thing. They temporarily increased the amount of dust you get, so that's equal to the amount of dust that you would have originally cost to craft it. So that's another one that got changed dust-wise, too. Other changes were the Shattered Sun Cleric. It's now a 3-2, or it was a 3-3. That one is keeps the creature deck, rush decks, healthy enough to avoid many board clearing spells by reducing the health to one. It leaves the Shattered Sun Cleric a bit more vulnerable while still a strong card. And you were mentioning about the Torn Chieftain. I did find something that basically if you were holding a virtual ticket, if the card doesn't show up, if you've noticed you don't have it yet, make sure the code is found on the back of the digital items card found in the badge holder. Not sure what that's talking about, but it says, or it would have been sent to you with the purchase of the virtual ticket. It's been added to your BattleNet account, so you should be able to still get it.
So another interesting change they made that I think, being a parent, although my child is not playing the game, there's a parental control now for the shop. And
good point.
You can stop people from using your computer and playing the game from buying cards.
Very important. It's probably something I should set aside for me. Stop myself from buying extra. I haven't. I really haven't. But, you know, the holidays come and the in-laws send presents in the form of little green bills that you kind of look at games like Hearthstone and go,
Well,
maybe.
The thing about buying all these cards is I'm at the point where the last, and these were not bought with cash, these were bought with gold coins. The past three packs that I have bought, I've dusted four, if not all five of the cards.
Oh, that's not good.
It's getting to the point where I haven't gotten a legendary in who knows how long. I almost never get a rare. So I mean an epic. So I just keep getting these rares and commons that I have already in multitudes. And so I just dust. And I guess dust is helpful too.
Yep.
My problem is I can't save up the dust to get that King Crush I want. I always spend it first. It's just burning a hole in
my pocket. I haven't spent any of my dust yet. I only have 300 and some odd, but I still want to make my pirate deck. I haven't forgotten that. Another feature that they came out with this patch is players near me. You can now opt in to seeing other Hearthstone players on your local network and your friends list. That's a new feature. I have not explored that one, but it's out there. And again, as we had mentioned last week when they were talking about it, the amount of gold gained by winning games in play mode is now capped at 100. The cap doesn't affect gold gained by quests or arena or achievements. There will be an indication within the game when you've reached your gold cap, and again, it's intended to combat certain methods of gold acquisition that violate the terms of service. That's something that's very, very important to Blizzard. Arena. We didn't talk about Arena. Arena changed a lot, and you're going to talk about that. I want to hear about what you told me happened. I think you need to reiterate that, but Arena's gone from 9 wins up to 12. The rewards have been
restructured. You could potentially go to 12.
Yeah, if you get past your first game. The Arena rewards have been reconstructed and restructured. You kind of ran into that yourself, huh?
Yeah. Well, Ben Brode had said if you're not really good at Arena, you're probably better off spending your gold on your collection and just buying cards. And I think he's right. I think there's a big learning curve to playing Arena. I don't know if I should really be looking for card synergy when I'm making my decks, or just pulling the fastest cards. But it just is amazing to me that I could play somebody who made a deck out of random cards and play against me. And my recent experience with Arena, and I said I wasn't going to do it, but I did it only because I wanted to see the changes. And the card looked like they were giving me better choices. I think they've definitely somehow changed the algorithms for which cards appear as choices. And some of them would appear multiple times. Like, if I wanted to, I could have had 6 of those owls that silence, but obviously I was picking some other cards as well. And I
said,
okay.
Can you get more than 2?
In Arena?
Arena?
You, In Arena, you can have more than two of a card. Absolutely.
Oh,
in fact, I think I had three of those owls, and I could have had up to six because it just kept appearing. So I made good use of them. It's lovely to get rid of that taunt, you know. But I thought I made a pretty good deck, and the first player that I played, it was like a constructed deck. Every turn, he had an awesome card in play. He never had to waste mana on a card that was not optimal. He never had to pass because he didn't have enough mana. First turn, something down. Second turn, something down. Third turn, two things down. And he just steamrolled me. And it blew my mind that this guy could do this. And I'm just thinking, here's somebody who's played a lot of Arena, and he's figured out the trick of how to build the deck. And, you know, I compared this once to PvE versus PvP in most MMOs. It's just a different play style. And I don't know if I'm going to have to play Arena, or I'm going to have to just invest a lot more gold into trying to figure it out. I do not want to spend $3 every time I play Arena to have the same outcome. Because the first guy steamrolled me. The second guy, he beat me, but it was a little closer. The third game I played, I had him down to one health before he beat me. So that was a close game, and I don't mind losing in a close game. But there you go. Three losses, not a single win. So in the past, after I lost, or even if I won, I'd have these five little boxes appear. And one would be guaranteed to have a deck of cards. And once I got a golden card as the reward, but only once. And the other boxes would have a few gold, 5, 10, 15 gold, and some dust, 5, 10, 15 dust, whatever. But now I only got two boxes, and one box was the deck of cards, and the other box had 40 gold. So basically, I had a net loss of 10 gold. I spent 150, I got 40 of it back, and I got a deck of cards. Whereas if I had just bought the deck of cards, I would have, saved.
So it's not as much a way, to get extra packs and such anymore. It's not. I wonder if they're going to fix that, because that would make me think, why would I want to spend 150 if I could take pretty much a loss of gold if I don't do too well?
Well, that was always the way it was anyway. But don't get me wrong, the value
may not
have changed.
You always used to get dust at least.
You would get dust and you would get gold, whereas now it seems like you get one or the other. So that box that contained 40 gold, maybe it would have had 40 dust instead. So
maybe we should try this a little bit more. I will do
turn,
it again.
Max.
My turn. I will spend
next.
My 150 gold next time I collect it and see what happens.
I
that's
think it's the type of player you are, if you're really competitive, I think that's what this is geared for.
It's the math.
People who are really competitive.
It's knowing how to do the math, just like when you're raiding. When you, not so much now as it used to be, but when you really needed to number crunch, some people just number crunch. I'm sure that there are patterns and quote-unquote number crunching when you're making your arena decks.
Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Knowing what's going to come up. It's kind of like playing poker, knowing what cards are going to show up.
Well, people formulate values to the card. This card costs X mana. It gives me this much health, this much attack power, and this much extra ability. I can get this many turns of use out of it. I can negate X number of cards that my opponent plays. And they have formulas, and they just mathematically figure it out. And, I don't want to do that. I just want to play cards that look like they're fun to play. And,
talking about that.
And win or lose.
Talking about cards that are fun to play. There are three cards that have had their visual effects improved on this patch. I don't own any of these three, and I really wish I did. One is Ysera. She now summons her dream cards directly from the Emerald Dream. King Crush now makes a dinosauric appearance when played. I have no idea what that means. Al-Akir, the Wind Lord, now rides into battle on the Tempest itself. So I'm thinking when you play this card, that a whole big whirlwind goes through the entire board and swirls around until it lands on the card. Kind of like when you play the Torn Chieftains, because when you play the Torn Chieftains, everything goes dark. You're in, it's like you're at a concert with the lights, laser lights going, and it just, it's a big card to play. You just know that that is a legendary. I'm thinking that they've done something really big with these three cards, and I can't wait to see them played against me. I want to see what these cards look like. They just sound like they're a lot of fun.
Well, they are legendaries, and in a game like this, where it's a card game that's a computer game, and Blizzard really wants the graphics to be fun, a legendary card should have a legendary appearance. And you're right, it'll be fun to see people play those against me. I haven't seen that yet, but at least I could lose cinematically, you know?
Gotta lose. At least you'll lose pretty.
So.
Okay. Talking about losing, a lot of times if you make a silly mistake, it can cost you the game. And that was noticed in the exhibition games that were going on. I don't know what you want to call them.
The Innkeeper's Invitational.
Yes, the Invitational. And I think you wanted to chat about that a little bit.
Yeah, so last week we mentioned this briefly, and today I want to talk a little bit more about it. There is a website called TeamLiquid.net. And I think basically this is a website that is frequented by the really elite players in this game. Anybody who's played WoW might remember Elitist Jerks. I think this is the equivalent to that from what I've seen. I haven't browsed their website too much, but I have browsed this one article. And it's called Mistakes Were Made. So just go to TeamLiquid.net and you'll see this article, Mistakes Were Made. And these players, they totally deconstructed a game between Trump and Artosis, and they went turn by turn and they said, okay, this mistake was made, this card was played too soon, this card was played too late, this card should not have been played because it didn't give its value as in the value of another card that could have been played. And the interesting thing about this article is it teaches you the thinking behind when to play a card and when not to play a card. But when I first started playing this game, somebody said, well, one of the fun things about the game is you can make mistakes and still win. This article refutes that. They came up with these conclusions at the bottom, and they have these little charts. And this is just amazing. They said, in game one, Artosis made one mistake, and Trump made three mistakes. And the winner of the game was Artosis. The second game, Artosis made two mistakes, Trump made four, and Artosis won. In game three, Artosis made four mistakes, and Trump made two. At that time, Trump won. So they totaled it up. Artosis made eight mistakes during that match, Trump made 11. And of course, Artosis won. And then they went on to another game where the same thing happened. And these guys are apparently the elitist jerks of Hearthstone, and they just theory crafted each and everything. You know, there's one card I'll give as an example. They mentioned this card cost more, and the choice was between a card that would enable you to draw an extra card versus a card that would have some other effect, and since he had a handful of cards, why did he need to draw another card? So I'm not going to sit here and read the entire article, but I thought this is something that our listeners would love to see. TeamLiquid.net, just go to that site and then type in on the search Mistakes Were Made, and it's a really educational read.
They go through all four games and they mention the mistakes, and they even rate them. Like a mistake rating was 10. It was a huge mistake, and they explain why. So if you want a little bit of a plus to how to play and different ideas and things that might kill you and why you don't want to do things, definitely it's a good read.
Yeah, there was one game that people are just talking about it over the forums and the internet. I forgot the player's name, but I'm guessing one of the players had the opportunity to actually win, and he just played the wrong card, and it cost him the game and the match, and he was out of the Invitational, you know, from that point.
Game over.
When he could have just killed his opponent.
Yeah. Well, at this time, I do want to say, I want to give a shout out to something that we're going to just completely jump ship now. I want to thank Blackhawk, BLKHAWK, for giving us a 5-star review. So we really appreciate your reviews. People who take the time to write the reviews, it's very, very much appreciated by us. We can be reached on Twitter and followed on Twitter at A Worthy Opponent. You can reach us at email, awohearthstone@gmail.com. You can find us on iTunes, and you can like us or follow us on Facebook at AWO Hearthstone. So, concluding our show, we hope you enjoyed Turn 8. Stay tuned for Turn 9 next week. I am Black Blaze.
I'm Autumn Spain.
Happy hearthing.
Happy hearthing. Have fun, everyone.
Clicky little music. The inn. Taking my deck of cards and moving over here by the fire because it's very snowy outside and I'm tired of snow. Production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.